Has anyone here ever walked on water? Anyone? A couple guys up here are really holy. I'll admit that I do it actually several times a year, usually between December and March. But it's not because I'm holy, because it's cold outside. There was one time, however, during the summer that I wanted to try to walk on water. It was a very calm day many years ago, and I was fishing with my grandpa on his boat, and I wanted to go in because I was bored. We weren't catching anything. It was hot. And so I asked him if we could go in, and he said, well, let's give it half an hour. And then what I thought was a half an hour went by, and I asked him, and he said, well, let's give it half an hour. And this happened a couple more times. I kept asking. He said, well, I'll just give it time. And thankfully for me, he was in a pretty good mood. And eventually he answered me, and he said with a smile, he's like, well, if you have enough faith, you can just walk back to the cottage. And so I think I stuck my foot over the edge, but I didn't quite have the faith to put it in the water because we all know what would have happened. I would have sank. So I stayed in the boat to fish another day. And in this way, remembering this story, I can empathize with Peter's struggle to believe that he could actually walk on water. I'm sure he had fallen out of the boat many times in his long career as a fisherman, and he knew the dangers of falling out of the boat. They didn't have life jackets back then. And he knew that falling out of the boat in a storm could be even fatal. And so what great faith he must have had in those first moments when he actually stepped out of the boat and he actually started walking on the water. Certainly more faith than I had as a little kid, or even now, that he actually got out of a boat in a storm and he actually started walking on water. Sounds crazy. But we also know that it didn't take very long for his fears to return. Matthew writes, he saw how strong the wind was, and he became frightened. And wouldn't any of us be frightened in the same circumstances? And so what is the difference between Peter's act of faith that allowed him to walk on water and his act of fear that caused him to start to sink? The answer to this question is the same phrase that the rector of my college seminary told us over and over again throughout my years there. And it was his encouragement, along with the author of the letter to the Hebrews, that we might keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If we keep our gaze focused on Christ and allow him and follow in his footsteps, then we can't really go wrong. And so this is true faith, not that we have everything under control, but that when everything is out of control in our lives, when we're in those storms, that we turn to Christ and look into his eyes, which are filled with love for each one of us. Looking into his eyes through the wind and the waves. And we call out to him just as St. Peter did. We call out to him. And even when our faith falters and we start to become afraid again, we just turn back like Peter. Call out, Lord, save me. And so Peter's mistake was that he turned his gaze off of Jesus and he started to look at himself and at his fears, and he began to worry, and he thinking in some foolish way that him walking on water was kind of up to him, and that he knew that he wasn't as strong as the wind and the waves, and so then he just kind of got caught up in himself, in his fears, as if it were something he was supposed to figure out on his own or by his own power, that he had to keep walking on water towards Jesus. But nothing could be further from the truth. These lies of fear tell us that we're alone, that it's up to us, that we can't really do it. And the truth of Christ that he spoke in this gospel to Peter, that he speaks to each one of us, is that he says, "I am with you. Do not be afraid. Come and follow me." And following Jesus is not just for holy people. It's not just for priests or deacons or religious sisters or brothers. It's not just for the people that were volunteering at VBS or help on staff at the parish or are really involved, as many of you are. But it's a personal invitation from Jesus for each one of us, each and every one of us, that we might follow him. It's not a generic invite, but a personal call. A personal call to follow him in a particular way of life. Through the vocation of marriage or religious life, the vocation of living a single life as a consecrated virgin, or living life dedicated to our Lord as a priest. And so I could relate, when I had the opportunity to read the gospel at Mass last night, and as I was reading it, I could hear what Peter said a little more clearly in my heart, that he said to Jesus, seeing that ghostly figure, he said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so in my life, there was kind of that ghostly figure of Christ, not in a vision, but in the different ways that he was calling me to be a priest. And so it was still kind of hazy, or I like to think it was hazy, and so I told Jesus, "Well, if it's really you, then you have to command me to come to you." And time and again, each time I did that, each time I told Jesus that, "Well, I'm not 100% sure, so you need to make it more clear," he made it more clear. And he did so in a very powerful way when I was at Camp Tekakwitha my last year of high school, that I was on this retreat through my home parish. And I really didn't want to go on this retreat. I thought I was above all that stuff. But I had this friend of mine, and I thought it was a good idea for him to go. He really needed to go on this retreat. I didn't need to go. He needed to go. And so to get him to go, I had to go. So I went, and so after the first full day of retreat, we had a priest who was helping out, and he exposed the Blessed Sacrament on the altar for a time of prayer, for a holy hour of adoration. And after he exposed Jesus in the monstrance, he got down and he started to speak to us a little bit. I wasn't listening to him, because I was so transfixed by our Lord present in the host, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, that this piece of bread that was transformed into the person of Jesus. And I was so transfixed, and as I was transfixed and gazing on our Lord, I heard him speak in my heart in the most clear way that I've ever heard him speak. In a very clear way, I didn't hear a voice like you're hearing me talk. I didn't see a vision, or I didn't see him in the way that Peter did, although I did see him in the Eucharist. But I heard his voice in my heart, and it spoke so clearly that he was calling me. He spoke so clearly that he was calling me to be his priest. And I pushed back, and I told him all of these plans that I had and these obstacles that were in my life and in my heart that I couldn't really do it. I wasn't the best person for the job, all of these things. I had other plans. And so I pushed back, and he just gently affirmed that call. And after another year of discernment, but not quite discernment, but just softening of my heart to have that courage to say yes, I entered seminary after a year of college at St. Norbert, and 7 years later after that, praise God, was ordained a priest. And it can be hard, though, to hear that voice of Jesus. We heard in the first reading, we heard how we were listening with the prophet Elijah for the voice of God in the cave, and we heard the wind, but God was not in the wind. We heard the earthquake. He wasn't in the earthquake. The fire. He wasn't in the fire. Then there was that whispering sound, and he was in the whispering sound. And so that's so often how our Lord speaks to us in our hearts, not often perhaps as very clear all the time, but in that whispering of the Spirit, he speaks to each one of our hearts, especially speaking to our young people that they might follow him in that special pathway to holiness and life that he's calling them to, whether it be in marriage or priesthood, religious life, the consecrated life. And so because it's so hard because our world is so noisy, right? Isn't it amazing that we can wake up and we can go to bed, we can even sleep all the way through the night and never really get a moment of silence? That I can wake up and turn on the news or listen to the radio or listen to podcasts, watch TikTok videos or YouTube or social media, whatever it is. And we can go through the whole day kind of distracted and filled with noise and thinking and learning about all these things, what's happening in the world. And life can seem like it's going by so fast. And we don't have that time to really rest and to really be with Jesus, and to have that quiet so that we can hear him, we can hear his voice. And so this is why the bishop has been inviting all of our parishes and the whole diocese to create this culture of vocations, this culture in which our young people are able to hear the voice of Jesus, that they're able to step out of the noise of this world and enter into the silence of his presence. And so this is why in your mailboxes you received a mailing. Maybe some of you saw this coming, where this was going. You received a mailing in your mailbox for what is called the Raising Vocations Collection. And this contributes to different organizations in our diocese, different experiences that our young people can go on to step out of the world and to be able to come and experience and come to know Jesus in that more personal way, like I did at Camp Tekakwitha, or it also supports CYE, Catholic Youth Expeditions, or conferences like SEEK or Steubenville, these different ways in which our young people are able to hear that call of Christ. This summer, I told some of you that I was in Rome for about a week with some of my classmates, just a week after my ordination to the priesthood, and we were on vacation and visiting churches and just seeing all that is Rome. There's a lot there. But I also ran into some familiar faces. Some of you might have heard of this priest before. His name is Father Ben Pribino. I saw him, and I saw Father Mark Mileseva, and I saw Father Ryan Starks, and all these high school boys who were with them and their group. And I came to learn that all these guys, these high schoolers, were on this trip, and they're all seriously discerning the call they were hearing from Christ to the priesthood, discerning the voice of Jesus in their own hearts, and what a privilege they had that they were able to do this in the heart of our church in Rome, where the apostles, where all the great martyrs lived and died, in all these beautiful churches. And so this was only possible, this trip was only possible for these young men because of the Raising Vocations collection that was able to really take on most of the burden of the cost of this trip, so that they were able to go for only a very, very small fee. And so praise God that they were able to make this pilgrimage and to continue to discern their call, the call of Christ in their lives. And so let us pray for our young people at the parish here at St. Raphael, that they might be able to hear that call of Jesus in the quiet of their hearts. That call, whether it be to the married life, whether it be to the priesthood or the religious life or the consecrated life, that they might hear that call, have that courage to step into that special pathway of holiness. We also, I can't forget, we have a seminarian here, Olivier, and he just came back from his summer. He was down in Texas doing CP, which is a clinical pastoral education. He was in a hospital doing chaplaincy work, and he made it back. And so we want to remember him in our prayers as well as he prepares to be ordained to the transitional diaconate coming up this spring. And so out in the gathering space, off to the left, there's a little sign with the Raising Vocations information. If you didn't receive the mailing, you can take some of those envelopes and such that are there. But I also have a bunch of little cards, trading cards, with Olivier's face on it and some facts about him that you're free to take and remind, keep praying for him. And then the one thing I forgot to mention last night, but I'll mention to you guys, is that we also have, in addition in your mailing, in addition to an opportunity to contribute to this collection, there are what are called called by name cards, where you can write the name of, or a name or two of a young person you see that might have a call to a religious or a priestly vocation. So that we might continue to pray for them in particular as well. And so let us pray for Olivier, pray for our seminarians, pray for our young people here that they might continue to hear Jesus' call in their hearts. As we pray together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary.